Hello, lovely listeners. I'm your host, Mel Barrett, and I wanted to share a snippet of our member-only content from Something's Off today, because I want you to see what we're building over there on YouTube. Our membership is where we go deeper, get a bit more personal, and really dig into the details that don't always make the main conversation about true crime cases. If you want to join the inner circle and support our work, just hit that join button on the main page of our YouTube and choose between the what tier at $2.99 or the AYFKM tier at $5.99. You get exclusive content, member lives and AMAs, discounts on merch, and last but not least, Rebecca will send you stickers in the mail. I also wanted to give you a quick update on the In Between podcast. I know I've been a bit quiet while I've been busy covering live trials, but I'm officially back in the studio. I've been working on a deep dive into the Epstein files for a while now, and that new episode will finally be out this coming week. So thanks for sticking with me. Now, here's a look at what's happening at Something's Off.
Hello, everybody. This is Mel Barrett, and welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we question everything. We just question everything. Tonight, I'm doing a little members only thing. Just you and me. And we're going to have a special guest probably around 8:45. So hopefully stick around for that. I'm going to say that you can ask me anything. I think. This was a big deal yesterday. Did you guys see this? So it happened while we were on air yesterday, because I had been going through Peter's show, The Lawyer You Know, and he had the amended filing for Karen Reed's civil case up, and he was referencing it. So I thought that he was actually like pulling directly from the amended filing, and I don't know where this Colin information came from, but when I heard him say that, and I wrote it in my notes too, we have to I've got to be better. He gave a very big apology today, and I appreciated that. But because I trust him as a source, and because he had the documents up on the screen, I think I assumed that's what they said. But he had to correct himself, because on air, He said something along the lines of Michael Proctor shared the investigative file with Colin Albert. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea where that came from. But when I saw it, I was like, what in the holy hell? It made me like go back through all the stuff that we had been told about Colin from the beginning. And I'm like, oh my God, is Colin really involved? Like, I went down a rabbit hole again. Luckily, Rebecca caught us in the middle of our stream, because Peter put out that tweet that was like, I've made some mistakes, I'm pulling the video. I think that was the big mistake. I think that was really the only one, because I went back and he basically did like a 3-hour, I think. He doesn't normally do 3 hours. He does like an hour and a half, 2 hours. He did like a 3-hour long stream today where he went through the entire amended complaint or filing. And it's like 60 pages or something like that. And they read the whole thing. And the only thing that really stuck out to me as being wrong was that Colin information. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I kind of just recapped it. But I would go and watch Peter's redo, basically. It's redux of the filing that Karen Reed's team made in response to the dismissal from the House defendants, who have all, let me just look and make sure I have this here. So today what came out is Peter Trejos did his amended complaint. So he went through the whole thing. He read the whole thing on air, talked it out. And then Brian Tully had a response to the complaint. And then, Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, Matthew McCabe, Jen McCabe, everybody else signed a declaration in support of the motion to dismiss. So that all came out today. I'm going to go over all that stuff. We are probably going to talk about it on Monday. Who is this? Where did that go? Somebody said something and I missed it. Also on Monday, if you weren't here in our live yesterday, we are going to have Aidan Carney on tomorrow night. I know that that's controversial for some people. I do think it's important to have honest conversations with people that we don't always disagree with. And I think it's, there's a way to have ethical, honest debates. And, you know, I'm not going to be debating Aidan about our politics. That's not something that either one of us really wants to do. I am interested in his journalism. I am interested in his satire, in his activism. So we've had him on the show before when it was the readathon. So now we're going to have him on. And I want to talk to him about this restraining order that he filed against Meredith. I think that it gets overlooked sometimes when men file those kind of restraining orders. And I think the juxtaposition between his restraining order that he filed and the one that Justin Alayan filed against Kelsey Fitzsimmons, I think that there's a lot of interesting differences there that I really want to talk about. So I hope you'll join us. It's going to be Monday night at 6 o'clock. What are my thoughts on Coffee Cake? Says, what are my thoughts on Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni? Did you believe Blake Lively at first? I did. Yeah. And actually, I still do. And I was on the Amber Heard side of things. So that might not, you guys might not like that. But when the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing happened, I was on her side. I don't know if I can pick a side necessarily between Blake and Justin. I do think that there was some harassment. And I listened to the audio that was captured on set when they were dancing in that scene. And it made my skin crawl. It made me very uncomfortable. And having worked in the industry, there are some major lines that get crossed. It's a part of that industry. Especially older industry folks. Like when I was in the industry, which was back the last time I really did anything major in Hollywood, it was probably 2010 or 11. So it's been quite a while. And back then it was way worse than it is now. And you just expected sexual harassment, workplace harassment. I had an executive producer on, actually not an executive producer, but a supervising producer on Deadliest Catch when I was a line producer and a production manager for Deadliest Catch. In a crew meeting, like 6 o'clock in the morning, we're all getting ready to go out to shoot. They're getting ready to go on the boats. And I had gotten the sunrise time wrong. It was off by like 6 minutes or something like that on the call sheet. And this woman berated me in front of like a 50-person crew. And I'm a professional. I was a professional at that point. And called me the R word, called me a fucking R word in front of the whole crew. And was like, I felt like the way that Donald Trump speaks to his people, that's how she was speaking to me. And that wasn't the only time that that happened. When I was actually working on the show, some of the cast members, some of the captains, like, got very handsy with me. One night I had to go sign a contract. And the only way that the captain would sign the contract is if I came on the boat, went to the wheelhouse 3 o'clock in the morning, and I did like 6 shots of tequila with him. That was like how I got a contract signed. So in that industry in particular, I'm not making excuses for anybody. What I'm saying is that people like Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni, who have been in the industry for a very long time, have really gotten used to, especially women, have really gotten used to sort of, you know, for actresses, they're expected to be like naked in front of people. They're expected to simulate sex in front of people. They are... actresses, especially actors and actresses, are treated like imbeciles half the time. And I think that once you get up into a position of power, like Blake did, you start to claim that power and you don't want anyone to fuck with you. And it's like, and it's the only time you get to do that when you're a woman in Hollywood. And so she might have been nitpicky, is the only thing I can think to say. She might have been. But he just comes off as so sleazy to me and so fake. And he's like created this persona. And I'm so grossed out by him. So grossed out by him. So a lot of the things that Blake put in her filing, I was like, yeah, that sounds like it probably happened. The voicemails, the audio that was recorded on set, like all of it made me incredibly uneasy. And I thought, wow, not a lot has changed. But I actually think a lot has changed. But ugh. Oh, Gypsy, thank you. I'm really liking your presentations and nuances. I appreciate you. Thank you. Lulu said also, I think this means now that Bondi can be potentially disbarred. Not potentially. I think people are going to go after her in Florida for sure. Rumbled Foreskin said, "Aw, I wish I had someone that loved me and would make me some spoons or one of those spatula things. I mean, I'll make you one. It doesn't take long. I'm happy to do it. Send me your address." I love Heather Cock Richardson too, Cyberchick. Let's see. I think I'm really far behind on these comments. That is so true, Patricia. Oh my God. Oh, thanks for the tip, Amy. That's very sweet of you. Patricia said the true Boston accent not only drops necessary R's, but also adds them where they don't belong, like soda. My whole family says, "Hey, go get me a soda." Soda. Casey said, "I do feel like Cricket Gnome is Cricket Karma Gnome, and I'm here for every second of it." Same, same, same. Hey, Amy, glad to see you. Yeah, Nicole Wallace was really high in the McCain-Palin campaign, and then she kind of came to her senses. Although John McCain, I love John McCain. If John McCain were here now and were running for president and there were no other Democratic options, I'd vote for John McCain in a heartbeat. Oh, thanks for the 499 Rumpled Foreskin. Thank you for being you, Mel. You are the bee's knees. You two girls are a joy in my life, and I appreciate you greatly. Well, I appreciate you too. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you engage. This makes me so happy. I didn't realize how much I was going to love this because I podcasting is like a lonely world sometimes when you're just talking into a microphone. You're not on video, you're not with your people, but you have to connect with your people through your voice and your stories. But I did it, when I was telling the Pam Smart story or when I was telling Veronica Rodriguez's story or any of the other one-offs I did on the In Between podcast. I love that work so much and it is really fulfilling. But speaking into the void and not being able to talk to the people who are listening, I didn't realize how much I was missing that in my life. So I'm so happy that this exists and I get to do it with you all. And it makes me very, very, very happy. Lincoln was born in a log cabin. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is, T. Senior. But Lincoln wasn't gay, so I don't understand still. Oh. Sarah Longwell. Thank you, Tony. Hey, Tony. Sarah Longwell. She is a badass biatch. I love her. Do you think, okay, is that, was there a rumor that Lincoln was gay, Kim? Is that true? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Eleanor Roosevelt. All those people. Okay. Brittany. Mel, I always tell you, remind me of my late lesbian G-Ma. Aw, I didn't know she was gay because she was married to my G-Pa for 53 years. Makes me sad that she could never live her true life. Aw, that makes me sad too, Brittany. How did you find out? Did she realize it late in life? Or, oh, that makes me so sad. Did you all ever see, do you remember the, they were like made for TV movies called If These Walls Could Talk. Do you remember those movies? And it had like Ellen was in one of them, Chloe Sevigny was in one of them. And they tell it in three chapters. And it's about a house that three separate couples or families or whatever live in over the course of many generations. And there's this one story of these two older lesbians, like really old, like I think it was Maggie Smith, and I can't remember who the other person was. And they were of the generation where they just lived together and they called themselves best friends and they just never married and they were like the old aunts, but they lived married. They just weren't allowed to get married, because this was before marriage equality. And God, it breaks my heart. I can't even think about it without getting choked up. But I'm sorry, there's going to be some spoilers here. One of the women in the relationship is like up on a ladder doing something with a bird feeder or something like that, something gay. And the ladder falls over and she falls and she dies like suddenly. And because they're not married, her family comes in and completely disregards her partner of like 30 or 40 years or something like that. She's not allowed in the hospital to say goodbye to her partner. They sell the house out from underneath her that she's lived in for 30 years. I don't think she was on the deed. They didn't have any paperwork. They didn't have anything that said that they had committed to each other for 30 plus years or whatever it was. And it was so heartbreaking to me. And then marriage equality happened, and then I got married, you know, in 2014, and ended up getting divorced in 2021. But for so long, it's so difficult to explain to people that don't understand that why marriage is important, I think, to the LGBTQ community. It's because in a lot of states, even right now, especially right now, if like, let's say Lindsay and I were in Georgia, like let's say we went to go to Atlanta or something like that, and I slipped on something and I broke my foot. In Atlanta, because we're not married and because she is not a blood relative or whatever, she wouldn't be allowed to come into the emergency room. She wouldn't be allowed to come into my hospital to see me. That's crazy, crazy, crazy. So just think about that. I just want you to think about it. Oh, thanks, Amy. Yeah, I'm still working on it. I'm still putting some pieces together. I got Ruby. I got Rebecca. I got the in-between, and I'll allow it. And you're hot. I'm politically homeless. What happened to the Democratic Party? They lost me. I think there's a group there, Brennan. And I think it falls somewhere along the lines of a Tim Miller or Sarah or Nicole Wallace. Like, these people are very much independents. I think that party is growing, honestly. In other news, Brittany says, Lori, you know, is a babe. Yes, he is a stunning human being. He's so gorgeous. It's hard to look at him. Okay, Danielle said they didn't quite Google it, but the Log Cabin Republicans have been around since 1977. They formed during an opposition to an anti-gay ballot initiative in California. That makes a lot of sense. Let's see. Tony, he did go back on today. He went through the entire amended complaint. He read the whole thing. He and his assistant read the whole thing and they talked it out. So it was really good. You should go and watch it if you haven't seen it yet. I'm talking about the lawyer, you know, Peter Trigos. I think this has to do with that woman who's being harassed that worked at the school that recently contacted Aiden because she had a family member that worked in the school. Don't know if you know. I don't know. I'll ask him about it though. Thanks for the $5, Tony. Gay couples used to adopt each other. Wait, why isn't this popping up for me? Gay couples used to adopt each other so they were family. Yeah, that was the only way you could get around the like hospital rules and things like that. It's just ridiculous. Let's see. Wow, I'm really far behind. Sorry, guys. All right, let me get through some of these. Okay, Brittany. Wait, hold on. Amy said Amber and Johnny were toxic and abusive to each other. Yeah, that's how I read it too. And Brittany says, I think the bad seed is Ryan Reynolds. I will agree with you 100% on that one. He is not helping the situation at all. He stirs up some shit, it seems like. Rumpelforeskin said, if you go over that Maui case, I would love to hear it. I feel like I'm the only one who thinks that dude is still the truth besides Samantha, of course. I don't disagree with you, actually. I've been watching a little bit of it. I do think that the wife, I don't know. I don't know why they're pushing for the charges they're pushing for. It could have just been an assault. You know, I don't know. I'm trying really hard to get into the Maui case. This is the case we're talking about is the husband who found out his wife was having an affair, tried to attack her atop a mountain in Maui and tried to push her off. And also he may have had a syringe and a bunch of shit in his hand and was trying to kill her. He was a doctor. I just can't feel anything for these people. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I don't trust the wife. I don't trust the husband. I don't know. You know what I have been doing though, and this is something that I wanted to talk to you guys about, is I've been going back through the Edric Faust case. So I didn't get to watch that when it was live. I think we were in the middle of, I don't know what we were in the middle of. Maybe Corey Richens, maybe something else. I'm not sure. And what I'm thinking about doing is, because I want to bring more attention to this case, I think it needs it. And it's an incredibly dramatic and interesting trial. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch it. It's on Law and Crime Trials. I'm thinking about sort of covering it as if it were live right now so that we can talk about it. Because I do think that I want more people to know about this case and share about this case, because I think he is wrongfully convicted. I'm going to say that off the top, based on some of the stuff that I heard in the openings from the defense. Like, if everything they're saying is true, oh my God, this poor guy. Anyway, if you've seen it, let me know what you think of that idea. I think I would do it separate, because I don't know. I mean, I think maybe Rebecca would want to be involved. I don't know. She's so busy. I just don't know. I don't think she'd be able to cover it all the way with me, but I think it's something that I could do sort of on my own and then have her come in to chat it out. But let's see. Lulu said, I agree. Amy, Amber, and Johnny are both crappy people that treated each other like crap. Yep, I agree. They were both awful to each other. I watched the Depp Heard trial. This is like the one thing I disagree with Rebecca on, but she didn't watch the whole trial. Ooh, what's your take on it, Dee? Let's see. Which DC? Kim said, which DC season? I know way too much about the fishing industry in Dutch. Oh, I worked on season, oh shit, it's been 2008 to 2010. So I think it would have been seasons 7, 8, 9, if I remember correctly, Kim. Don't quote me on that. I had a different last name though before I got married. So my LA Hollywood name was Mel Robertson. So my credit for Deadliest Catch was under Mel Robertson and everything else I did in Hollywood. I don't know. Da, 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 da. Okay. Casey. Oh, did you see Kelsey's tweet in response to the North Andover Police Department's post on the news story about the lawsuit? Throwback to Friendly Wedge. She's had fight song on repeat for 9 months and I'm here for it. Yeah, I saw Bradle's response, public response. And he was like, I'll see you in court. And I was like, I am living for this. This is amazing. Go after them. Drag their asses. I watched Depp Heard gavel to gavel. I came in thinking Amber was abused and came out thinking she was the abuser. I think they were both abusive, Luna. That's my opinion. I think that there was just a lot of substance involved in their relationship. And anytime there's that much substance abuse going on, everybody's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? I grew up around alcoholics, wild, wild alcoholics. You know, I was like the bartender for my family parties when I was like 8 years old. And whenever they would get together, there would always be a fight. There would always be blood. There would, you know what I mean? And I think that when you're in a relationship like that, and especially like sort of a secular relationship, because you can't, even though you live in this big world of Hollywood and there are so many people and so many personalities, when you're home alone and all you're doing is drinking or doing lines or doing whatever you're doing, you are the only person that you can be like honest and real and abusive with is the person that you're with. And I feel like that's what I saw in their relationship. I'm not even sure why it went to court. You know what I mean? Two messed up people fucked each other up. And that was that. You know, I hate that it had to go to court. And I don't know really who's right, but I do believe that she was physically abused. And that part bothered me. Maybe you disagree, but Dunee said, Mel, you have lived a wild life. I've lived an interesting life for sure. I've done a lot of things. I've seen a lot of people. I've done all the things. Like as a kid, if like 50-year-old Mel could go back into like 10-year-old Mel and be like, here are all the things you're going to do. 8-year-old Mel would be like, yes, let's get it on. Let's do it. I've done everything I wanted to. Actually, I take that back. The one thing I haven't done, and it's just because I'm not smart enough, is I wanted to be a marine biologist and I wanted to like swim with dolphins. Haven't done that. Let's see. Put the spoons in the store. Maybe. They take a little while for me to carve. And right now my hands from working on this pod and doing a bunch of stuff around the house over the past couple of weeks, my hands are wrecked. I couldn't even imagine carving anything right now. Dot said, thank you for being brave enough to openly support Amber Heard. I got ripped apart online during that trial. I bet you did. I know there was a lot of Amber Heard hate out there. And I can't deal with physical abuse of any kind. So when I saw some of that, I know that there are allegations that she made some of that up with like makeup and stuff like that. And I had this conversation with Ellen Marsh one time about this case. And I thought, let's take Amber Heard and Johnny Depp out of it. Let's say it's you and your partner, right? You and your partner, and you've got a very combustible, you know, unhealthy relationship, and there's substance abuse, and your partner gets physical with you, right? Pushes you around, shoves you, like any kind of physicality, any kind, like a shove, a shoulder check, anything like that, a punch, anything. And nobody believes you because you don't have the bruises to prove it. I can see, and I'm not saying this is right, and I'm not saying anyone else should do this. I can see in a world where you need people to believe you so that you put some makeup on. I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm saying that when you're in a situation like that and you desperately need people to hear you and be believed, sometimes I think that you'll go to lengths like that just so you can go, okay, here's the proof. Because otherwise I can't prove it to you. So I'm going to shoot a video and here's the proof. Like as women, especially, well, men too, but mostly women, if we have to go to a court of law to say that someone sexually harassed us or assaulted us or raped us, they want proof. And then oftentimes, like in Veronica Rodriguez's case, if you haven't listened to her story, I did a 7-part series, investigative series on the In Between podcast. And it's about a woman who went on a date. She had just met this guy. He was getting very pushy, very handsy, was trying to get her drunk, did get her drunk, was in a car with her, would not let her out of the car, took her keys, took her phone, took her glasses. She started getting scared early on in the beginning of the date. And so she started recording audio on her phone of the interactions because she was worried something was going to happen. He took her out to a secluded area in Pennsylvania, out in the boonies, and he forced her into sexual assault is the only way that I can think to say it. The audio recorded the entire time. And on that audio, you hear her saying, dude, stop trying to kiss me. I said no. And please take your hands out of my pants. And eventually she's just saying no, flat out no. And anyway, long story short, she reports it. She reports being sexually assaulted. And within just a week, the local police completely flip the case on her and charge her with wiretapping. She was doing all the things she thought she was supposed to do. She was trying to get evidence. Pennsylvania is a 2-party consent state. So they're saying that she needed his consent to record him assaulting her. And she got convicted of it. She's a felon now. So I think about it this way. I think, you know, you all know this, I've said it before on the pod. I have a history with sexual assault and sexual abuse. And as a kid, you know, when I was 15 and this happened, no one believed me. And I had evidence. I had it on my body. I had it in my face. I had it all over the place. And still nobody believed me. So when I hear stories like this, and I hear that women go to the lengths that they go to prove what's happening to them, I don't fault them. I'm sorry if that pisses people off, but I don't fault them. Let's see. Tara said, I'm sorry, I don't believe Blake. Justin was on Jane the Virgin for many years, primarily female cast and zero issues. It's all about the power, and his star power is far less than Blake's. Agree. I agree to some extent, Tara. The thing I'll add to that, though, is that that power dynamic might have caused him to act in a certain way because he felt emasculated. And some of the other women on set also had issues with him on that movie in particular. Let's see. Soder. Soder. Give me a soder. Yeah, Journey's a piece. Hey, how you doing? I like John McCain too. Even when he was running for president and I wasn't voting for him, I still love John McCain. That moment, I don't know if you all remember it. I've talked about it before, but there was that moment where he was doing a town hall and this racist woman stood up at his own town hall and said, what are you going to do about this Barack Obama? He's an Arab or some shit like that. And John McCain grabbed the microphone from her and was like, no, ma'am. No, 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 no. He is not. He is a good man. And I miss that about our politics. I didn't like the other side. I didn't like George W. Bush. I wasn't politically aligned with John McCain. I am not politically aligned with Liz Cheney or Chastity Hudson or Hutchinson, Chastity Hutchinson, or Nicole Wallace, or Tim Miller. But I miss the respect we had for the other side. At least some people did. And that this wasn't a game. This was, here are my views, and here's what I'm fighting for. And if you agree with me, then vote for me. End of story. You know what I mean? I miss that. Mitt Romney, he had some problems. He was also the Massachusetts governor. He was a great governor in Massachusetts. But you know, the binders are full of women and the dog in the crate on top of the car, that did me in with him. But he ended up standing up to the extent that he could, and I appreciated that. Let's see. There's so much gaslighting. It's nice to be confirmed that you're not nuts. Yes, I agree, Rumpled Foreskin. I agree. Gaslighting is the worst. Yep. Romney's binders full of women comment. Amy said, yes, if these walls could talk was formative for me. Me too. God, that one episode just wrecked me. Wrecked me. Oh, good. I'm glad you guys all remember it. I can't find the one I'm talking about. There were three. The If These Walls Could Talk, this series, it was a three-part series, I think, and it was like the lesbian If These Walls Could Talk. And the first one was Chloe Sevigny, who was a masculine woman in the 70s. That was pretty hot, actually. And then the next one was, I think it was like Ellen and, oh yeah, it was Ellen DeGeneres and Sharon Stone, and they were trying to get pregnant. So that was like sort of a modern issue that we were facing. And then the third one was the two older women. And it wrecks me. Absolutely wrecks me. Oh, God, there's somebody in the waiting room. Let me see who this is.